All right, class, let's pick up some places here about the apostolic sealing and apostolic government, permitting the apostolic seal to be on your ministry. We've talked about this. I want to pick up now to take you further. Ephesians chapter 4, I have taken verse 11 through 16 to make a pivotal spot for us training in this apostolic sealing. Another word that should become strong in your heart is government. The governing factors of the fivefold ministry gifts will come in place as we submit to God and submit to His plans and submit to one another. That is very important. God has a plan within the context of the fivefold ministry gift. And I believe because of the time and because of the cultures that are being built and the season that we're in, the church is going to have to be in its in the manifold wisdom of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Church is going to have a boldness and access and a confidence in the spirit realm that we as ministers may be able to permit the Holy Spirit to manifest the supernatural through us instead of just having a lot of information, a lot of academic, a lot of good saying, a lot of excitement, a lot of emotion. I believe it's time that we as ministers can immerse people down into the spirit so they can live a deeper life. And for that to happen, you notice that 11, open your Bible if you got it or hit it on your phone, that 11 through that 16 verse is so important. God laid that on my heart. Just grabbed that out of all the writing of the apostles. That's really what God wants. He wants to be strong. So one of the sealing factor of the apostolic in which, because you are in the school, is coming off on you, is to bring order and government to the church. Order and government to the church. In other words, for the spirit world to manifest, we're going to have to properly be led by the Spirit, properly inspired by the Spirit. There's an order, there's a administration of supernatural things had to be in place. The apostolic anointing is a governing anointing. In other words, an apostle should have enough maturity under their spiritual belt to have manifestation and demonstration in their life and their ministry. Like I've seen three people raised from the dead. I've seen multitude of people who could not, men and women could not have children that kept having miscarriage or certain things blocking them. But I've seen many babies, even twins, come into the world because that's an anointed eye. Where? Now I've seen people become millionaires from money coming by having that anointing on our ministry. So apostles have to have a proven ministry. You can't be a rookie. The government is necessary to facilitate the flows of God's power and anointing. God's power and anointing in the body of Christ has not been able to flow as it should. And class, I just want to be straight with you. You got too many imposters, city apostles. And they really don't have no proof. They really don't have no reason to even come up with that kind of idea. And so we got to walk through these. Holy Spirit, lead us through this traffic. One of the things I've preached over the years, and we need that. So the flow of God's power and anointing is so important now that there be no fear, there be no worry. You just know that God will do a new thing if you need to do it to put us in position. We've got to stop looking at the past, stop looking at the future, and make sure you stay in the presence of God. I was telling my wife this morning, you know, a lot of time, people, a lot of books written on how to get in the presence of God and have the presence of God. But really, you don't have to get in the presence of God. You just be present. God is always present. Now, that's very important to know. The apostolic also is designed to judge. Now, these words sound real strong, to judge, to order, to judge. But that's what we have to get aware of, the fact that there's ranks, there are orders that have to be followed. To judge, the apostle brings judgment and correction to the church. In other words, my son said, I think we got 51 churches under us now. Well, that church get out of order, it's my job to go in and get with that pastor and work with him or her and make sure things come out right. They issue sentences and verdict against false teaching and correct behavior. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. False teaching and incorrect behavior. You got a lot of that going on now. And don't get me wrong, as I look at the negative, I know there's a lot of good things going on. There's a lot of people who really love God. There's a lot of people who are really doing it right. The enemy wants to look at all the bad things. No, that's good people. So in 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, specifically looking at verse 3, but I'd like to catch the context of it, and I'll do it. The context of it is, we're looking at the third verse, but the context of the fact is there's fornication in the church. See, nobody won't touch these type of subjects, but they have to be taught, because holiness and cleanliness and righteousness and sanctification class is part of what we need to be doing. The picture went off in here, what we need to be doing. So we need to deal with these things, fornication in the church. So verse 1 says, reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as it is not so much as name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Then verse 2 says, and you have puffed up and have not rather moaned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Then we get to our third verse. For I verily, as absent in the body, the Apostle Paul said, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I was present concerning him that have done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit, with the power of our Lord. Notice that verse, how impact that verse is in verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you have gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see what happened? Wrong living takes away from the presence of God. He can't function as he want to. Verse 5 says, deliver such and one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of the malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, that's talking about dealing with issues and making verdict. And see, we need that. There's an ungodly fear, but then there's a godly fear that need to remain on the church. And God have it divinely set up with the fivefold ministry gift. Also an apostle, when you're talking about being sealed in the apostolic, is to reform. A apostles are reformers. They bring the necessary change to the house of God. Apostles raised up during time of Reformation. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Reformers bring necessary changes through the wisdom and the revelation from God. Apostles supposed to bring the church up to par in the things of God and in the spirit world. Now remember, we're working from the base of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, because now the body of Christ is going to have to grow, and people are going to have to know, as the old folks used to say, fend for themselves in the spirit. Not just depending on us as leaders. We feed them, but then they need to know how to fight the good fight of faith themselves. In Hebrews chapter 9, And I want to go in the context of this, because we talk about apostles or reformers. They bring necessary change to the house of God. Apostles are raised up during time of Reformation. Now, the context of the text I want to look at, and I want you to look with me, because as I bring it to contextual understanding of the text, it's going to make you more deeper in the spirit realm. I'm actually focusing on Hebrews 9 and 10, talk about what stood in on in meat and drinks, and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But I want to give you the idea here from this text, the context of this text, and I like my little Bible I have. It's a worldly sanctuary. And that's why the apostolic had to keep the church from going into that worldly state, to keep them in the spirit world. Look at the first verse. Then verily the first covenant has also ordinances of divine service, and a worldly sanctuary. All right? But there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table, the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, notice these words, holiest of all, sanctuary, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, sharing the mercy seat, hallelujah, of which you cannot speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest, alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holies of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meat and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation, Jesus Christ. But my point is that the reforming aspect, as the changes are made, and things that God want to change, that apostle ought to be right on top of it and be able to bring it to the prophet, bring it to the pastor, bring it to the teacher, bring it to the evangelist without no argument. Should be in harmony. And you see, all of that, your ministry, all of these things need to be in place that the apostolic can really build you into the spirit as you should, and then it'll build those people to go to that 16th verse in Ephesians 4, that every joint supply. So, and the apostolic sealing is to build. Apostles, if you notice, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Apostle John, they were wise master builders. It would build in the kingdom. The apostolic anointing is a building anointing. Now notice it's an anointing. It's not something someone pick up. Apostles help build strong churches. Now, in order to do that, that apostle had to have built a strong church himself. Now, you hear the Word of Life Christian Center, this is a strong church, but we don't play no games here. We're not perfect, but we don't play no game. My people know we don't play no game. My elders know we don't play no game. And they know if they do play a game, they got to deal with me. And I've had to deal with it before. I dealt with it in love, not put them down, but I set them down. And I'll do it any minute. I'll do it to anybody because they got to keep the church in a building position. Here's another statement. They have been likened to general contractors. They are responsible for overseeing the construction of the house of God. Now, I like that. Overseeing. See, that's something we've been lacking. We got all these people starting these ministries, and some of these ministries get large, a lot of people. But the Bible of the anointing, the Bible of real revelation, the Bible of the presence of God is not there as it should be, even though good information, a lot of great outlines are being preached, but there's an element of the fire and the fire and the fruition that cannot be there because it's not in alignment with Ephesians 4. It's not in alignment with what God actually wants done. I mean, you can spread your wing, you can have some of the largest churches in the world, but you don't never talk about sin. You never talk about repentance. You never talk about this is not right and that's right. You just got a large church. You ain't got nobody over you to make the correction in your life. If you are just a pastor, and I say just a pastor reverently because I'm a pastor, but you don't have the other, you don't have the apostle and prophet before you, government and declaration. That could be a problem in building a ministry. And you can see that. So ministry is not about how many people come to church and how much money it got. I'm talking about how far are you going in the spirit realm. See what I'm saying? So look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll look there for a minute. First Corinthians chapter 3, now we're going to look at the 10th verse, but you know, I'm going to bring in a contextual atmosphere there. Verse 10. Now, I like what we have to understand that we are laborers with God. I mean, the whole show is about God. The whole thing is about God. We're laborers with God, and we have to labor as laborers with God. We're going to have to labor as God designed, direct for us to labor. You follow what I'm saying? We can't run off and do our own thing. Everybody got to be accountable to somebody. So in looking at this scripture, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Look at the first verse. We'll use the Bible. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That verse holds a lot. I fed you with milk and not with meat. Hereunto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. Are you understanding? Here's an experienced apostle who have went through a lot of ranks talking to others and telling me you're not ready for this. For ye are yet carnal, verse 3. For when there's among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one say, I am of Paul, and another say, I am of Apollos, and are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, pour the water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gives increase. See, even the apostles had to be held in their places. They are nothing without God. Look at the 8th verse. Now, he that planted and he that waters are one, and every man should receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, verse 10, where I want to go. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, that is, I have laid the foundation, and another build their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. See, because you got to be trained to build. Trained to build. So there you got it, 1 Corinthians 3:10. Now, the apostle also, another great aspect of the apostle is to bring revelation. Now, as soon as I hear that, I think about maturity. I think about experience. I think about manifestation. I think about demonstration. I think about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which is one of the most powerful ministering chapter to understand ministry there is in the Bible. He tell you that his academic didn't do it. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he said, I didn't come to you with large words. I came to you humble, trusting the Holy Ghost. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Read that 1 Corinthians 2. It's a powerful chapter to bring revelation. I think it is one of the most powerful 1 Corinthians chapter 2 there. I think I need to touch on that. How Paul had faith in God's power. And by having faith in God's power, the wisdom of God manifested. Having faith in God's power will cause the wisdom of God to manifest. Now watch this, because this is one of my favorite when we talk about the bring revelation, apostolic ministry, the ministry of revelation. Apostles bring insight to the body of Christ concerning the plans and purposes of God. Let's just look in 1 Corinthians 2 at the first verse. Let's look at faith in God's power. And that's one thing you'll need to have. And then understanding the wisdom of God. Those two things. The first verse said, I, brethren, and this is my chapter here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Mess it up. That I mess it up. But he said, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's powerful. I was with you in weakness, and in fear and much trembling. Look at these things. Look at these things. Apostle. Weakness, fear, and trembling. We all got to have that. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Now look at verse 1 and verse 4. See, can you find yourself? And verse 5 said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, class, this is one of the most dynamic chapters on preaching, on the ministry gift, on the apostolic, prophetic. This chapter right here lays it, the Holy Ghost lays it out to the Apostle Paul where we should be and how we should, as John said in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's how you get in the Spirit. You get in the Spirit by not being a high-minded, but blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You find out that there's not many wise men, per se, academically, psychologically, scientifically, that God has chosen. Now there are some smart people in this class, and you got a high IQ. You can't let that get in your way. I'm not saying you have to be a dummy, but I'm saying you have to be someone who knows you have a need in this realm all the time. You have to be where you can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and knowing that he'll exalt you in due time. The spirit realm, class, is a realm of submission, is a realm of admission that you know you don't have it. See, you can be a scrutinizing person. I explain that. You just got a lot of scriptures, you looked up a lot of reference, you got a lot of translation, the Living Bible, the Amplified Bible, and on and on. Those are good, I use them myself. But yet there must be a humbling factor in you, knowing that you must always be yielding to the Holy Spirit that he may take you into the realm of the supernatural. In other words, a supernatural anointing takes over, and it may seem like you're feverish in your ministry, but that's when the glory comes. That's when the power make itself available, because now you totally trust in God, not your outline, not the academic, not the college you graduated from, none of that. Are you following me? All right, stay close with me now. You see, faith in God's power, when you minister in God's power, it releases the wisdom of God on the people. Amen. Amen. Notice the sixth verse. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, those that are matured or maturing, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Hallelujah. Even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this is a territory where Satan can't go. Say your academic, your smart talking, Satan can go in that area. But when you go to operating in the wisdom of God, revelation of God, he can't go there. And see, that's why that the churches are not, to a large degree, producing as they should, because they're all out there and the eloquent speaker, but they can't just drop a rag and let the Holy Ghost do it. If you let me just walk in the presence. I feel nothing coming on me now. Just walk in compostilita. Just walk in the presence of God. Class, listen, class. That it seemed like a shawl or garment is wrapped over you. And it seemed like you're not really there anymore. You stepped into a realm of glory, a realm of anointing, a realm of the supernatural. You step into that realm and you know you're winning there because it looked like you put another garment on, and then it seemed like you get into deep measures of God's presence. I want you to get that while you're in this school. It's not, you see, I found out that the excitement and the emotion a lot of time keep you from emerging deeper into the presence of God. Took me a long time to find it out. You know, I came from the Baptist and I would hoop and, you know, we're getting a good rhythm and we're gone. But I've learned, I've grown to train you properly. Sometimes you're going to get excited. That's fine. I'm not talking about being dead and dry, just talking. No, because when that anointing come on, there's more emotion going on than anything. Yeah, there's more excitement, but it's in another realm. It's not just in the body of feeling good. Another strong word here, when you talk about excitement and emotion, there's a strong word I want you to get and I want you to keep in your ministry, enlightenment. Your main aim is not to excite the people, not to emotionalize the people, but that the Spirit of God can travel through you and bring enlightenment to the people. Now, enlightenment will produce excitement, but enlightenment won't be left in their chair when they leave. Enlightenment go home with them. Something, because the Holy Spirit worked through enlightenment. You get it, class? All right, now, listen to this. The wisdom of God. The night voice says, but as it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the thing which God had prepared for them that love him. Now, verse 10 is very important. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. And you can go on and on, class, in that whole chapter. I advise you to read it out loud to yourself. Read it till you get it down in your spirit. And I've read it many times. Look at 1 Corinthians now 3, verse 10. Look into the 10th verse. 1 Corinthians 3:10. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is the only foundation. The responsibility of the apostles overseeing and the construction of the house of God and making sure that any church that is under you as an apostle build on the right foundation. Don't build just on information, programs, having a good service. Make sure that people know how to stand for themselves. When they're attacked or when they need to have wisdom, they know what to do. Another dynamic field, Ephesians 3, I'll tell you about it, of the apostle, Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm giving you these scriptures so you can read these whole chapters, for they'll make you put you in a position where you can grow in the Spirit. I've been studying it for years. The supernatural, two words, the supernatural and mystery. Now, what those words mean, it'll keep you from trying to operate in just history, what Paul did and what so-and-so did, and not being able to get the enlightenment and the revelation and the wisdom to bring it in yourself and in your preaching that people can live it today. Are you following me? Now, in this third chapter is the mystery made known, is the unsearchable riches of Christ and praying for the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul. There's a great prayer here. It's just a powerful chapter. Apostles bring to the body of Christ concerning the plans and purpose of God. So he'd do it by making the mystery known, dealing with the unsearchable riches of Christ. And matter of fact, the assignment I want you to have, I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 three times out loud to yourself. And at another setting, read Ephesians 3 three times aloud to yourself. Pause. And if you want to read it more than that, just make sure you get those two chapters down in you. I had to get those two chapters down in me many years ago, and I'm so thankful the success of my ministry, totally, the success of my family. That's another thing, you want to bring your family with you. I thank God I got three sons preaching, two teaching in the class, another one in training, my younger son. My daughter, my sister-in-law can preach. My daughter-in-law can preach too. And our whole family is structured with respect. They respect mom and I, and I respect them. They respect the ministry. They all work for me. And that's what you want to do. If God calls you in ministry, make sure some of y'all got younger children. Make sure you keep your arm around them in this culture. Make sure you don't have to be beaten across the head of the Bible. I didn't do that, my children. But let them see you live it. You asked one of my children, where your dad at? What are you doing? He said, he's studying somewhere. See, I study all the time. When I came from out of the street, I was 26. I began to study and study and study, and I never stopped. And I love it. And I want you the same way. Put God first. And if you do that, you're going to enjoy your life. I think, class, you got enough. I'm going to cut off early. I want you to study those two chapters. I may come back and do a full blast on those two chapters to just equip you from those two chapters, because I know they're so important. God bless you. I'll see you next session.